Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Shout out to Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 at WIP, 888-729-949. We've got a few more of these Eagles free agents. We were touching on free agents earlier. Free agents to be, and we'll address some of the other ones. This segment right now brought to us by the Goodwill Store. Start the new year lighter, brighter, and doing something good. 25-plus Goodwill donation locations throughout New Jersey and Philadelphia. Make sure you visit goodwillnj.org. John, what hit you from what Spike said? He had a lot he had to say there about the 76ers.
Oh, my gosh.
Where do you start?
Well, I'm a little bit upset that, you know, Ben is here for this year. I feel like... I hate to be a Debbie Downer on this one, but I feel like it's going to be another lost postseason because we are doomed to failure simply because we will not have a half-court offense. Other teams will take advantage of our shortcomings, and his game refuses to grow.
He'll also get further exposed on, like, what I'll call the national stage. I mean, it's all
and
national stage.
It will work against us when we try to get something for him when it's all said and done.
Yeah. Yep, now that was interesting stuff. Let's go to the phones, 888-729-9494, and we go to Jack in Newtown Square. Hey, Jack.
What's up, guys? How would you guys feel about shipping Al Horford, maybe Zaire in a pick, to the Trailblazers for CJ McCollum? Because we get a guy.
You can't get McCollum. You can't get him. I mean, I would do it in 5 seconds. The Trailblazers would not.
I mean, I feel like they need a big, and like maybe Zaire and like. Maybe a pick or two?
I mean, first off, you're kind of out of picks. I mean, there's just not much left with picks. I love your trade. I think the Trailblazers would laugh at you. Yeah. Jack, give me what was shocking in the movie.
Uncut Gems. I don't know if you guys saw it, but...
I have not seen that. Have you guys seen that?
No, it's the new Adam Sandler movie. It's out right now.
Okay. By the way, speaking of movies that are out and all that, the got the list here, John. The Oscars. I know you're a big Oscars fan. I remember when not Steve Harvey, that was the other, what was that, Miss America?
Yes.
I remember when Jimmy Kimmel and Warren Beatty and was it Faye Dunaway?
It was Faye Dunaway.
And they all messed up the Oscars at the end. We came in all ready to talk, except John's like, I didn't watch it. I never watched the Oscars. I'm like, dude, it's only the biggest award show in, like, the world. John, are you more into the Oscars? I mean, you like movies. Why don't you like the Oscars?
Because it's so self-important. And it I don't care to watch
the Academy Awards. You dress up, you feel good. It's glitz and glamour.
You do?
Yeah.
You dress up,
sure.
And you feel good for the Oscars.
I sit there in a tux watching the Oscars.
There's so much I'd rather do than sit and watch that for hours.
Oh, man, you stink. It's a good time. James, you like the Oscars, right?
I love the Oscars.
So this year, they're saying that...
I'm watching my Oscar movies now. I'm getting all caught up.
I'm trying to get through it. They got that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's the best.
Outstanding
movie.
Is it?
Yeah, I do want to see that.
And then 1917 just came out. They said that one's got a great job. That came out just maybe a week or two ago.
Yeah, that one's supposed to be very
Brad
good.
Pitt might actually win.
I think Brad Pitt is going
an
to
Oscar.
Win.
Has he ever won? He probably
good
never has.
He's been nominated. I think it's his third or fourth nomination. He's never won.
All right.
He's great in it. He deserves to win.
Right. Good.
So I saw.
I hope he does.
I've seen The Irishman. I've seen Little Women. Little Women better. Irishman good. But how did The Irishman get so many nominations?
Well, I mean, it's like Oscar bait. I mean, it's Martin Scorsese. Yeah,
exactly.
Doing what he wanted with
you put that lineup together.
But James, it's not that. It's not that good.
I thought it was good. I thought The Irishman
was good.
It's a very good movie.
It's good. Yeah.
Isn't it's on Netflix?
Yes.
Yeah. We get all those DVDs. How did I get to it? DVDs.
Of course.
You watched it on DVD.
We get it through the SAG-AFTRA union. They send us all these
DVDs.
By the way, I need someone to help me out because the Eagles have this. Well, for a whole bunch of things. The Eagles have this, what is it here? They got this.
The Amazon Prime series?
Yeah. So I saw this yesterday. There's a show going to be coming out in a couple days on the Eagles on Amazon Prime. It's called All or Nothing, the Philadelphia Eagles 2019. So how do I watch that? Like, is that on channel 803? Where do I get at? Can someone tell me how I get Amazon Prime?
Yes, you sign up for it.
What, at Amazon.com?
Sure. Yeah, you can do it there.
And then what, it pops on my computer or my phone?
It's also on your TV.
Smart TV, yes. We'll have an
TV
Amazon
not
Prime
smart thing. Enough to figure it out. Not happy about that.
One person's not smart enough to figure it out.
You.
Someone tell me how to get it. I need step-by-step instructions, please. Doesn't work for me. Let's go to Andrew, who's with us. Andrew.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Alshon Jeffrey, no one's going to take them unless we do the old Brock Osweiler trade, which is us giving up a significant draft asset to get rid of him.
Well, or we could just pay a lot of his salary.
That's another option. Yeah.
But I would rather keep that salary cap space. Like, I'd move a second-round pick. I don't have any trust in our scouting department or in Howie using draft picks. I would try and talk to Cincinnati. They're going to have a new quarterback. They're going to lose AJ Green. Yeah. They're not going to franchise tag him when he literally sat all season with an ankle or a foot injury and still practiced.
It's an interesting question. Would you trade a second-round pick plus – see, here's the thing, though. Doesn't your cap still get rocked? I mean, even if you
– No. I read an article. Our cap does not get rocked if we trade him. We have roughly $46 million if we trade him. If we release him, we lose a whole bunch.
Yeah, I know that.
But Auden Tate, I watch a lot of his games. He's young. He won't cost much on our cap. We give them a second-round pick and Alshon for Auden Tate. I mean, maybe trade for Jamal Adams also, because Howie hinted at his press conference that he tried getting Minka Fitzpatrick. They basically chose Pittsburgh's first-round pick.
I mean, Jamal Adams would cost a lot. It'd be like a Jalen Ramsey type package to get Jamal Adams.
But listen, regardless, I don't trust them to draft anybody.
Well, I would tell you this. I think you should trust them. First off, it's the main path. You can say all you want, you don't trust them. It's the main way to build a team that's sustainable. Second thing I would tell you is I think you're dogging Howie too much on the pick. I mean, yes, they've missed some picks. Listen, man, they got Miles Sanders. They got Goddard. They got Dillard in the last 2 years. I mean,
Goddard fell to our laps. I mean.
Well, what do you mean he fell to their laps? They traded down. And they acquired Dallas Goedert in a pick. I mean, it's I don't know if that's fallen in their lap. Did Miles Sanders fall in their lap?
Dallas Goedert, yeah, he was the second running back available.
I mean, I don't know if that's fallen in your lap. I mean, you try to map out a strategy for the draft, and they ended up with Goddard, and they ended up with Sanders. I mean, I don't know if that's fallen in your lap.
They got lucky on both of those.
I know. So when they make a good pick, they get lucky.
A premier tight end.
Yeah. I see it different, Andrew. I just think that's an unfair stance. To say when they miss a pick, oh, they blew it, and when they have a good one, oh, they got lucky. Like, come on, really?
I have faith that they can draft defensive linemen and offensive linemen. I have faith in that department. But if you look back at any other position,
have faith they can draft defensive ends.
Well, they Derek Barnett, they went on production only. They didn't take a lot of others into account. But offensive linemen, they've hit pretty well.
All right, Andrew,
linemen.
Give me something shocking in a movie. One's going to win the concert tickets.
I'm going to say the Avengers, when all of our awesome superheroes that we love so much just went to dust.
All right, you got it.
Yeah.
Andrew, appreciate that phone call, man. How about the Eagles trade all of their first-round picks for second-round picks? All of them. Because they pick better in the second round. Brian Dawkins, second round. LeSean McCoy, second round. DeSean Jackson, second round. Miles Sanders, second round. Dallas Goedert, second round. Just trade all the first-round picks
for
second-rounders.
That's a great point, Joe. Market inefficiency here.
Just do it. I want all second-rounders. No more first-round picks. By the way, Lamar Jackson, the pick today,
they traded. For sure.
For Dallas Goedert. I don't know if people put that together. They traded, you know, obviously the guy's going to be the MVP of the NFL this year for Dallas Goedert, essentially. Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by the casino at Delaware Park. You can watch and wager on all the pro football playoff action at Delaware Park Sportsbook. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery, must be 21 play. Today's question, who has to go first? Who should we get gotten rid of first? A, Brett Brown, B, Ben Simmons. John, where do you think the results came down today on Twitter?
Boy, I think Ben Simmons is probably going to win this. But not by a whole lot, like 60%.
75% the other way.
Wow.
Brett Brown, 75%. 25% of people say Ben Simmons, he got to go. He's got to go first. Let's go to the phones, 888-729-9494. We're going to talk to Andy in New Jersey. Hey, Andy.
Hey, guys. How are you? Listen, if you want to punish the Houston Astros players, then take their rings. Okay? It's the only way that the message is going to be sent to these
players.
Well,
you also could could suspend them. I bet you they'd rather get rid of their ring than get rid of $5 million in salary.
The problem is you have so many guys still on the Astros. You have guys all over the league. You have guys out of the league who wouldn't be punished at all. I mean, how are you going to hand out suspensions? And
yeah, but here's the thing about. Let me just say this about taking the ring. Like when
they
take, but when they take the Heisman Trophy away, now that stinks. But you still want it. I mean, OJ still won the Heisman. Reggie Bush still won the Heisman.
Well,
like when you take a guy's ring,
you do that, Joe, but
what difference does that make?
Well, you take their money, they still keep their rings. It's you know, you get six of one, one half dozen of the other. You're gonna have to punish them somehow. It's the only way I can think of that would be fair.
Well, I'd suspend them. That's what I would do. I would suspend them.
Well, look, MLB wants to move on from this. They don't want to sit there and have an investigation drag on and figure out who's responsible for what and how they're gonna punish who and who they're gonna fine who and how it's gonna be equitable. They want to fine it. Get it done, send the message, and be done with it. And this allows them to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, now, listen, if you were not quite fully accurate when you said earlier there was no precedent for this kind of stuff. There wasn't one in baseball, but there was in football, which was prior to the 2005 Super Bowl when the Patriots stole the signs of the Eagles. And you saw that punishment.
Well, yeah.
Big fines, draft picks.
Well, there was no punishment. There's no punishment for the Patriots cheating against the Eagles in the Super Bowl. There's been no findings that's ever been made public, and there's been no punishment of that.
Yeah, well, there should have been, as we all know.
Okay. All right. So if we're going to talk about accuracy, what are we talking about here? I didn't even say there was no precedent? Was he listening to another?
I don't think so, no.
No. I mean, what is he watching some TV show? And the camera said that. I mean, what did I do? All I did was wake up here today and do a show. I didn't say any of that stuff. Getting accused of stuff I didn't say. I'm being told to keep it accurate. And then I got a haymaker in accuracy from the guy telling me the Patriots got punished for the Eagles in the Super Bowl. In the words of Jim Calhoun, get some facts. Come back and see me. James, we need that one as a drop. It's one of the great ones ever. I'm gonna use that against callers that make ridiculous comments sometimes. Get some facts. Come back and see me. I'm going to use that against Richie also. Let's talk to Mark in Doylestown. What's going on, Mark?
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
Thanks for calling, Mark.
Yeah, I just a question with regard to does Carson Wentz have any input into the offensive coordinator?
Don't know.
Well, would that be, I mean, is that typical? I mean, just is that something, you know, does, especially like you know, franchise quarterback having a, would he have been asked before as to whether or not, you know, the previous guy should go?
Great question, John. What would be your sense? This stage of Carson, he's got the big contract. Does he get a say?
Wow.
It's an interesting question.
What was it that they did say he had some influence on? I don't remember what it was.
I don't remember.
This past offseason, talking about... Boy, I don't know. I hope that I think you do have to account for his feelings on this because he's going to be working hand in hand, I guess.
Here's where I'll go, Mark. I think what Carson deserves is for that they don't hire someone that he hates. But I don't think he deserves that they hire someone that he wants. There's a difference there. There's a difference between Carson dealing with someone and he can deal with it, might not be his first choice. Okay, this is the guy the Eagles think will help Carson drill down the hardest and the best. But I don't think you hire someone that he flat out doesn't want to have the job.
And would he have been asked about, you know, Mike Rowe?
I don't know.
One?
I don't know. I mean, you're asking questions. Did they ask him? Should they ask him? Will they ask him? I don't know. All I can tell you is what I think they should do. I can't tell you what they did or will do. It's a very interesting question, though. Mark, give me what was shocking to you in a movie?
Okay. Has anybody mentioned Chinatown yet?
No. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
The scene in Chinatown is where, you know, Faye Dunaway.
Daughter and the mother. Yep.
You got it. Yeah. I mean, it's just
wow.
It's a biggie.
Daughter-mother scene. That is a haymaker right there. James Seltzer, should Carson Wentz have a say in who is hired as the quarterback's coach?
No. I agree with you with, like, don't pick someone that he openly hates, which I don't see as being an issue, but no, I don't think it should be Carson's decision.
What if the quarterback's coach is Nick Foles? What do you say? Nicky Foles, quarterback's coach. No, I'm just joking. 94 WIP, HD1 Philadelphia, Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie, of course, from the Taste of Cake Studios, 888-729-9494. Let's go to Tom in...
Do you think...
Yes,
do you
go
think,
ahead.
pertaining to that question, do you think he would be opposed to the idea of someone like John DeFilippo, who was very hard on him? You know, like if they did ask his input.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to
that. I don't know either.
I mean, it's impossible to know. You know, right. I do know this, though. If I'm Lurie and I'm Roseman, I want someone that will drill down on Carson, that will help Carson drill down.
Absolutely.
Like you gotta coach him hard, and you gotta work on fundamentals, because there's magnificent athletic skill, and you wanna hone the fundamentals so that he can be the best player he can be. That's the objective. That's the kind of coach I'm looking for. Tom in Westchester. Good afternoon, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Joe, I agree with you. Brown's got to go first.
Yeah, it's time.
And we have to bring someone in that is going to sit baby Ben down and say, here's the deal. And also, to Spike's point, we can't unload Ben now, right? We just can't.
So sit
baby Ben down and say, here's the deal, Ben. Either you act like a basketball player and an adult, or you're done. So, you know, this kid's feet need to be held to the fire.
I would love that. I would love that.
No one's doing it.
Yes, it's like, listen, we don't have to play you. You may think you're all that. You tell us, yeah, well, I'm an all-star, though.
Yeah.
But you're not good for our team the way that you're playing. So we're starting other people you're going to be watching. You're going to be wearing a suit and sitting on the bench. I think that's what you got to do now.
Right, and unfortunately, he's going to be laughing all the way to the bank because the Sixers made a huge mistake with the contract. So, you know, his value now that we know from Spike's comments, we can't unload him this year because of those NBA technicalities. His value will continue to decrease and decrease and
Does it, though? But if you don't play him, you can't see him get taken advantage of in the postseason by anyone we're playing against. I think it kind of keeps his value where it is now rather than dropping it further.
And Tom, I actually think the contract actually helps his value, because having him sign for 5 years, if I'm the Wizards, if I'm the Hornets, if I'm one of these like teams in the NBA that's just, you know, take New Orleans, they're going to want to put something around Zion Williamson, and Drew Holiday's name has popped up. To me, Ben Simmons, I know he's good. We all know he's good. He's not great. He's good. If I think he's good and has a chance to be great and I'm New Orleans, I'm a lot more inclined, especially New Orleans, who's not L.A., not New York, not Chicago, right? Not a big market team like that. I'm a lot more inclined if I'm New Orleans to acquire Ben Simmons, who next year will have 5 years on his deal when the season starts, five instead of one or two. And now he's telling me, I don't want to play for New Orleans. Don't trade for me. No, dude, I got you for 5 years. I think that deal actually helps the Sixers be able to trade him for the kind of value that you'd want, even if it's declining value, for value. That's how I see it.
It's going to be declining value.
Well, it already is declining value. Yeah.
Yeah, the other side of that is the other team's got to pick up this huge contract that is
I know.
Is grossly – you mentioned earlier about Tobias Harris being grossly overpaid. Ben Simmons is the number one overpaid athlete on the planet.
No, he's actually
Tobias
not.
Tobias Harris is the worst.
He's actually not. Tom, give Tobias me what a was the worse. Shocking thing in a movie?
Though.
Shocking in a movie.
I got a pun. I don't got one.
No problem, buddy. All right, so here's the thing. That last caller, interesting in a lot of ways, but I want to kind of draw out here and be clear. Ben Simmons is a good NBA player.
A great NBA player.
No, I'm not saying potential. I'm saying what he is. He is a good NBA player.
He's close to great.
No, he's amazing.
He's one of the 20 best players in basketball.
No, he's one of the top, like, 30 or 35.
He's amazing in so many ways. Yeah, you got to put him up there in the top, I don't know, 40 guys.
Top 30. Yeah, I mean, James, I don't think he is top 20.
That's fair. I think he probably is top 20. He's certainly close to top 20.
Well, he's somewhere between 20 and 40. Maybe he's 20, maybe he's 30, maybe he's 40. Make your call.
First half last night, he was top 20.
Yeah, see that?
And then you got the second half.
That caller acts like he's not top 50. And that's why I'm just trying to stop for a second and say, and that guy, in my opinion, is wrong. He's undervaluing Ben. We all have issues with Ben, but that guy's taking it too far. He does. I mean, look, they're going to win 50 games. He helps you win 50 games. The question is, does he get you, you know, to greatness? Does he get you to the Eastern Conference Finals? Does he get you to the NBA Finals?
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, regular season games. Do you really want to be that team? Do you want to be the Bucks?
Yeah, who always
dominates in the regular season.
Right.
I don't.
Yeah, they don't even dominate.
I don't care.
The fact that they are the sixth seed, I mean, January 14th, here we go. Halfway point of the season.
Poorly.
Halfway point of the season, they're the sixth seed in the East. That is quite terrible. 888-729-9494. Elliot Shore Parks will join us at 1:30 today. Back to the phones we go. Let's talk to John in South Jersey. Hey, John.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
First off, hey, you know, you guys are talking about all these professional athletes. Like these people are adults. You know, you have to understand, I mean, these kids are 22, 23, 24 years old. You know?
Yeah, they're young adults.
No way Carson should pick his offensive coach. No way.
No, I don't think the question was, is he picking them? It's, do you bounce some names off him and see how he feels about those
guys?
Yep,
that's a distinction there, John.
I can see that. So let's get on to Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons leads the league in steals.
He's a great defensive player. He plays hard.
He had 20 points the first half last night.
Yep.
Now, unfortunately, fellas, I didn't see the end of the game.
That's the problem. He shrunk.
He disappeared.
He willed it. He had no assertiveness in the fourth quarter, and they lost the game. And Josh Richardson, who was considered the fifth best starter on this team, fifth best when the season started, okay, was the guy that had to step up in crunch time. He did the best he could. He actually played very well in the fourth quarter. But the fact that your fifth best player is the guy, because you're a $185 million guy and you're, you know, like, I'm a famous guy, first taken overall in the draft, Ben Simmons guy, both those guys don't do their step-up thing. They do their shrink thing. And now I got my fifth best player trying to be the man in the fourth quarter. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Listen, I've hated Brett Brown since the day they hired him. So I really think he's got to go.
Yeah, well, I don't hate him. I love him. He's still got to go.
I don't think he's hateable.
No, he's not hateable.
It's so hard. It's just so hard. I just can't hate it.
Oh, jeez.
All right, John, talk to me about a movie that was shocking.
All-time, you know, Michael Corleone shooting the crooked cops and Tino in the restaurant. It doesn't get any better.
All right, Michael shoots the cop. To me, not shocking. I mean, you can say the turnaround shocking in Michael. But, I mean, when he goes into the restaurant, like, you know what his intentions are.
Yeah, Sonny at the toll booth is way more shocking the first time you see it.
Sonny at the toll booth is a good one. You know what's another one that hasn't come up yet? I never saw the movie, but I know everyone. Should I say Haymaker or should I hold off?
If it's the one I'm thinking of, I've been waiting for it all show.
Should I say it?
Sure.
No one's on hold waiting to say it?
I don't know. No one's.
I don't know if we
me.
Have the same one. So I never saw this movie.
I'm guessing it's the same one because I knew you had never seen the movie, and it's the Haymaker I've been waiting for.
1990s? Ish?
Oh, okay. So, no, it's not the one. Mine's much older.
I think 1990s. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll hold off for a couple minutes here.
There we go.
We'll see if someone comes up. There's a Haymaker out there that people say was really shocking when you'd see the movie. But I'll hold off. We'll see where people go. Let's go to Joe is with us. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys.
Hi, Joe.
What's up, buddy?
Hey. I really don't have anything to talk about the sports. You know, the season's over. My green hat's sitting there in my Florida room somewhere. But the movie, I got one for you.
Okay.
The Crying Game.
That's the one I was just about to say.
Yes.
That's what I was just about to say.
That was going to be my example at the start of the show.
I was literally, that's the one I was just about to say.
Yeah.
There you go.
Nothing had ever.
Watch the Oscars.
Now, Joe, when you watched that, did you know the outcome? Did you know what was going on?
Not a clue.
Yeah,
absolutely not.
I saw it in the theater,
and I'm a movie buff.
And John, you didn't know either?
No, I had no idea. I think that might have been like the first time I was truly just floored in a movie.
Yeah, I remember people saying that.
I don't remember what year that was.
It was truly shocking. It was like 1992, 93. I want to say
early 90s, somewhere in there. All right, Joe, we got you. What's a big answer? He's got a shot to win. Shot to win. All right, speaking of shot to come back, not come back. Do we want them? Do we not want them? Where do we stand? So we went through a whole bunch of free agents earlier. A couple more Eagles free agents to get to. Again, Ruben Frank with a good article on NBC Sports Philadelphia, the website. Another player, John, free agent. Want him? how expensive. Jordan Howard. Mm-hmm. Now, I would love Jordan Howard. The question is, can you get him at like
$2 million?
$2 million? I mean, here's the thing. Let's say you got him at $2 million. You would have a backfield, a $3 million backfield total. Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders, or maybe it's like $3.5 million. Boston Scott. That'd be fantastic. And then if you want, you know, to see if Corey Clement competes for the fourth spot, or maybe someone else, you know, it could be an undrafted free agent. It could be a free agent. I mean, an undrafted rookie. It could be a free agent they sign. It could be whatever, you know, because they'd probably want to carry a fourth back. John, where do you think this Jordan Howard thing goes? You know, it was amazing. One of the things Ruben wrote about in his article that, and this was pretty cool. He wrote, even this right quote, even with the time he missed this year, he's still third in the NFL in rushing yards over the last 4 years. He missed like half a year.
Wow.
Missed half the year, and he's still third in the NFL in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
It's
just really strange the way his injury went. I didn't understand what was going on with that. I wonder if there's more to it. So they know a lot better than we do how healthy he is, what that situation even was.
Go ahead.
Backs are cheap.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, you could get him for
cheap.
Hopefully, you know, $2.5-3 million. Yeah, I guess I would do that. I'm a big fan.
Yeah,
and
I
think he's still capable, assuming that this neck thing or whatever you'd call
assuming that's, you know, going to be fine.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something I've wondered about. And John, I'm curious if you agree. And James, I'm curious if you agree. So the Eagles offense got better at the end of the year. And it got better at the end of the year when Miles Sanders was being leaned on and he had developed. So he got the early season issues out of the way where he just kind of looked not ready for action when the season started. And when Boston Scott got in there. And one of the things that certainly defines both those players, Boston Scott and Miles Sanders, is that they both can catch the ball very effectively out of the backfield. And certainly they ran well, but they also caught well. And I wonder, looking back on it, when Jordan Howard was at his best, and Jordan Howard, I mean, I said many times, first half of the season, I think he was a top five player on the team. First half of the season, I thought the five best players were like Brandon Brooks, Lane Johnson, Jordan Howard, maybe Roddy McLeod, and, you know, maybe pick someone else. I don't know, maybe Kelsey. Like, but he was on the short list of who's the best player on the team. I've wondered if Jordan Howard's, I don't want to say inability, but less effectiveness as a receiver in the Doug Peterson offense is a factor for why the offense sometimes isn't great. And don't get me wrong, guys. Aguilar wasn't good. Alshon wasn't good. There were injuries. There was a lot of different things. But I've wondered if seeing the offense in December start moving, is it partially a byproduct of Doug really needs running backs, not a running back, running back. So play by play, you got a guy that can effectively catch the ball and present a challenge to the defense that, let's just be really candid, Jordan Howard doesn't present as a running back out of the backfield. That he's not a threat and that defenses have to defend you differently and that it kind of bottles the Eagles up a little bit. John, do you buy that as a possibility?
Not really. No.
Why?
Because they still throw it to him. I mean, he still does the same. They're running the same plays.
Yeah. But he gets you 4 yards instead of breaking around a corner and getting into this, you know, getting up the field. And Boston Scott or Miles Sanders, who can get you 25 yards. Because you're right. Howard can catch the ball.
They only threw it to him one time this year.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't even know that.
Oh, no. Okay, I'm sorry. That's wrong.
How many games, how many catches?
So catches this year, I'm looking at a different thing. That was my bad. So he had 14 catches.
And that was
a year. 14 targets, 10 catches.
10 catches in half a year. So that's terrible.
Yeah, it's horrendous.
It's horrendous.
James, I actually think you're onto something, Jim.
You think that theory might be on point?
I do, and I think you saw it at the end of the season. At the end of the season, I didn't want Jordan Howard back. You know, when he could play and he cleared for contact, I didn't want him to play. Because I wanted guys out there to catch the ball also. I said that on this station.
Yeah.
I think that does matter.
I mean, it's something that struck me when you saw the offense finally start going.
I would rather have a guy that you can – we have two guys who can catch it and do that.
Right.
Let's round out that group and bring in a guy who's always going to fall forward and get you three no matter what.
All right, so it sounds like what you're describing is let's have LeGarrette Blount in the second half of his season in the championship year, meaning he serves a role, but it's a lesser role. LeGarrette Blount was on the field less after Jay Ajayi had been acquired. Obviously, Jay Ajayi was a really good player. Hey, I got my bruising guy and Blount. By the way, Jay Ajayi was pretty bruising also. But, you know,
I think you can get him for cheap enough that you can have him. Yeah, it's
I'm not opposed to that. It does it does strike me, though, that it really becomes part-time. It really becomes part-time.
Yeah.
Both because of Sanders' ascension to, you know, possible greatness, and because I think Jordan Howard does have a deficiency that does bottle the offense up a bit.
No, there's no doubt he's not a skilled receiver.
No, he's not.
He can catch. But that's not what you want him doing.
I mean, the screen game became a huge part of what the Eagles did in December.
Yeah. But, you know, you need to vary the offense. Look at the teams that are winning now.
Right.
They can pound you. Like, I want to be able to pound people.
You know what I still thought was one of the most amazing facts? I don't know if you guys remember this. Boston College had a running back, God, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, who had, I think, 2,000 yards rushing. I don't know if you guys remember this guy's name. I don't. He had zero catches that season. Zero.
Coleman. Wait, what was his name? It's Coleman? Like,
how do you have 2,000 yards rushing and zero catches?
They didn't throw it to him at all. And
and by the way,
he
did nothing in the NFL. I don't even know who this guy was. He did nothing in the NFL. I mean, it matters.
What was his
If you're going to pass the ball 70% of the time, you better be able to catch the ball.
I think I did his
Andre Williams.
Andre Williams, right?
I think he was a Giant maybe for a minute or two.
Yeah, he was.
But like he did. But James, he did nothing.
No,
he
didn't.
Keekly's team. I did Keekly. It was him and Keekly on the same team.
Wow.
I did Keekly's first game as a true freshman that season at Boston College, and I think he had that back had a pretty good game.
I mean, I'm sure he did. He had 2,000 yards for a season.
Awesome offensive line, they just that was their identity. They just pounded them.
All right, to the phones we go, 888-729-9494. Benjamin in Downingtown. What's up, Ben?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon.
Hey, I got two hot takes for you, if I can.
Well, I don't have to be hot takes. Why don't you just give us your opinion?
It might be a hot take. The first one is...
Hot takes are stupid, but go ahead.
I know. I know you think that.
They're moronic.
And that's why I said it, because I know you feel
that. Yeah, I hate that, but go ahead.
But I'm pretty sure Spike Eskin is still mad that Hinkie got fired. By the way,
I'm still mad that Hinkie got fired, but, you know.
He poo-poos the team a lot for a super fan that he is.
Well, you know, he's pretty down on
so
him.
You think
that's
he's,
for sure.
So you think Spike's jaded because of Hinkie? That's possible.
Yeah, I mean, that whole analogy with the race car is, you don't go for the color or anything along the line. You just get a new car, okay? Like, that. If the car is broke, get a new one.
Yeah, what he was telling you is Brett doesn't have to go... It was a Brett Brown thing, but I got you. Go ahead. What's your other hot take?
That there is an absolute WIP curse. That in the beginning of the season for all these sports, like the Phillies, they're going to win 90 games, and then what happened? And then the Eagles are going to go 13-3. We all know what happened. They went, and then now the Sixers are going to be, you know, almost a 60-win team and go all the way to the conference finals as home advantage.
Not to mention Beat the Hammer. People start betting on me to win Beat the Hammer, and then I start losing.
Yeah, there you go. What was it, 3 weeks in a row?
Well, that was 3 out of 5. The WIP curse. I got to think about that one. Benjamin, give me what was shocking in a movie.
All right, how about the movie Alien when the alien pops out of the guy's chest?
Yeah, that's a great one.
There it is. All right, Benjamin, appreciate the call. Is there a WIP curse? John Ritchie, James Elcher, are we cursed around here?
No.
Do we cause it?
No.
I agree. There's been enough years that, look, expectations.
You said the Eagles were going to win the Super Bowl in October. We played the chant.
Of 2017.
That's my point. Yep. Over and over again. We did everything. No, I don't believe in that stuff anymore. Sorry.
I'm with you on that. I mean, look, we do get carried away. The biggest spot we get carried away.
Yeah, maybe we get a little excited.
Is every August we inflate the, and I say we. I'm not saying me, John, and James. I'm saying the entire city of Philadelphia. Every single August. Inflates the Eagles' win total probably by an average of about 1.7 wins.
Yeah.
I mean, we just do.
Yep.
It's what happens. We get all excited. We have this propensity to get all geeked up. Eagles geeked up.
I'm going to try to factor that in next
It is.
Whenever I think they're going to win, I'm going to pull back two losses. I'm going to take two more losses.
They're going to win 10.7 games.
It's unbelievable.
Every year.
But otherwise, I mean, look, I thought the Phillies were going to be great. The pitching obviously was horrendous and didn't hold up. And the Sixers, I mean, a lot of it was predicated on Ben will learn and Ben will improve, and Ben clearly hasn't learned and hasn't improved. I would be so annoyed if I was
how
his
do we
teammate.
Keep falling for that.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't want
any more videos.
No more jump shots. No more videos.
Yeah, enough.
And especially because those videos are produced where you don't even see like 10 consecutive shots. You just see, oh, a made shot. Oh, it's a made shot. Oh, a made shot over here. Like, it could have been.
Yeah, it's funny. You mentioned the Oscars before. I'm pretty sure best editing, it's actually in the Oscars for that. Yeah. For those videos.
Can we nominate that?
We should.
Best editing.
Very impressive.
The Fultz and the Simmons. Fultz and Simmons videos. Let's go to Darren, South Philadelphia. Good afternoon, Darren.
Well, I don't inflate by 1-5. I go, like, usually 4-6. You know, if you remember the season, I had us going 15-1. Woo! Glad I didn't bet money on that.
There you go. Yeah.
But I'm going to skip Sojus and go to a baseball for a second. I'm proud that one of our, you know, top four sports got it right for once. That by far, I mean, I don't see anybody complaining or finding a way. You can't complain. I think that was the right way to do it.
Well, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
The Astros punishment.
So you're happy with the commission. Well, he came down hard. Don't you think the players should have been suspended, though, Darren?
Here's my thing. At the end of the day, how are you going? You're going to suspend a whole team because that's ultimately what you've been.
Well, you could have staggered the suspensions. I would not suspend. You know, I don't know how many guys are still left on the Astros.
What I'm saying, Joe, is that you make my point for me. There are players that aren't on that team that you know. I think there was like two pitchers that played on that team, knew about it, and said something. Are you going to suspend them too? Because you know that you go too far. Like at the end of the day, they chopped the head.
Darren, let me ask you a question. And I do understand that it's complicated. An action happened on one team, and a suspension could carry to another team. But let's take this another ways. If a player gets in a fight in the final game of a regular season, and let's just say he gets a 10-game suspension, and then gets signed by another team. The suspension carries over to the next team. Now, I know this is tricky because the teams that acquire these Astro players and maybe they've been on the team for a year, maybe they just signed last week. Like, you didn't expect that they were going to get suspended, but isn't that just kind of the breaks? I mean, if a player does something that is a suspendable act, doesn't it carry over to the team he then is going to?
Joe, but are you then going to carry every – like, what is – a Major League roster one has 25 players. Like there were players that came down. Like it's tricky. I agree. Yes,
it is tricky.
If you want to penalize like the star, I forget the this is Springfield Altuve, like the star players on the team. Sure, make an example out of them. You could. I could understand that. Or players that are still like you know for a fact benefited from it, like star players. But it's too tricky. At the end of the day, they chopped.
Well, it is very tricky. Darren,
they got the GM. They got the. Coach. And they gave the owner a $5 million fine. Which,
well, that's
you know,
$5 million fine's a nickel for a billionaire.
But it's still $5 million, and you took draft picks away. And let's just say one thing that the Astros are great at, definitely better than the Phillies as of right now, is drafting.
Well, there's no doubt, Darren. What was shocking in a movie?
How about when Luke kissed his sister and found out that she was his sister?
Okay, Luke and Leia. There you go. All right, that's an interesting answer, Luke and Leia. I think that was not till the third one, or
correct,
otherwise known as six.
Well, yeah.
James, the A.J. Hinch, John's old buddy and college roommate, A.J. Hinch.
Did you know he was a cheater back then, Johnny?
Both suspended for a year and fired on the same day. That's a bad day, guys.
Yeah.
James, so I haven't absorbed all the information, but from what I've seen, they're saying that he was not nearly as in on this as other people, and he told people he was against it at the time.
Yeah.
Right?
So I mean, again, yes, he did, and apparently he damaged some of the equipment
twice. Twice he damaged the equipment.
He also it was happening, and he knew it was happening. So like, and he in his statement took responsibility and stuff like that.
Right.
The one Lunau, the GM, is the one who came out and was like, "I had no idea this is happening. This was all the other. I wish they had told me because I would have stopped it." Which is...
Do you believe it?
No. It's really?
I'm just asking you the question.
No. I think it's absurdity. I can't believe that he's coming out and just trying to blame the underlings and being like, oh, it was all them. I had nothing to do with it.
So he's going Shaggy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't me. Yeah. In the bathroom.
Exactly.
Where else was Shaggy in that song? He was in the bathroom floor. Where else was he? I can't remember. Was he in the closet? I don't know.
In the corner? I think
in the corner? Wasn't me. All right, let's go out on the Sports Colleton guest line. If you're injured at work, get you. That was a great song. That was a great song. Let's go out on the Sports Colleton guest line. If you're injured at work, get justice. Get justice, of course. Call Sports Colleton at 800-JUSTICE. And we welcome in from 94WIP.com/GoBirds. Does a great job covering the Philadelphia Eagles and many offseason storylines to discuss as the offseason is on with Mr. Elliot Shore Parks. What's happening, Elliot?
Well, Joe, if my memory serves me correctly, Shaggy was also in the sofa and in the shower. So there was multiple locations going on there.
Now, wouldn't he be on the sofa, not in the sofa?
Well, I was trying to keep it.
Yeah, I got you. All right. Elliot, a lot happening with the Birds. We'll get to some free agent possibilities and all that. But coaching staff-wise, I don't think we've spoken to you since the news came down late last week about the Eagles with the offensive coordinator, Mike Groh, and, of course, the whole press conference. What is your opinion? What is your guess, or what do you know about how it came down? Was it directed from Jeff Lurie, in your opinion? Did Doug Peterson, was he just a bad liar? Did it get away from him at the press conference? Did he actually tell the truth and Lurie to hand it down the decision afterwards? What did you make of that?
So, to me, I thought Mike Groh always got over-criticized in this town unfairly. I mean, this is Doug's offense, and I think that a lot of the reason Mike Groh is not here is because of public perception. I think when you hear Doug talk about Groh and you talk to Doug about Groh, he's very complimentary of him. He talks about, you know, what a good job he's done. He said that for Carson Walsh as well. Now, the Eagles obviously will say it's a collaborative approach. Doug said he made the decision. But I find it hard to believe that Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman didn't have a lot to do with the firing of Mike Groh and Carson Walsh.
You think they directed it?
Yes, I would say mostly. I mean, it's hard to say, like, you know, I'm sure they strongly suggested it. Maybe Doug went along with it. But I believe that Doug wanted to keep them.
Yeah, I mean, Doug was pretty.
It sounded like he did.
Yeah.
You know, I saw that you wrote something interesting that I hadn't considered. Mike Groh's relationship to Alshon Jeffrey could mean something now this offseason. Could you get into that a little bit?
Yeah, so I think that the top priority for the Eagles and how he laid that out was that they want to get younger and they want to get faster. Now, part of that and the main way of doing that is moving on from Alshon Jeffrey. Mike Groh, of course, coached Alshon in Chicago. He was Alshon's receiver coach here and then, of course, his offensive coordinator. So we'll see where Mike Groh ends up. He's certainly not going to be a head coach and probably not even offensive coordinator. But if he can get a receivers coach job somewhere and he's in a team that needs receivers, then maybe you could see, you know, Groh say to that front office or the head coach, look, if you bring me Alshon and he's healthy, I can get something out of him. So that is a potential landing spot for Alshon if the Eagles do decide to trade him.
Is it reasonable to expect that they will be able to trade Alshon? Or that they want to as badly as we want them to?
Yeah, so his contract is an interesting one, and it really comes down to how much dead money they're willing to have on the books. They can trade Alshon and not really lose much cap space. They're at about $45 million in cap space, which, since I've started covering the team 7 years ago, is the most I can remember them ever having heading into the offseason. This is before they even make moves, they redo deals, those type of things. So if you trade Alshon, I think you lose around $1 million in cap space. But the tough part is you have about $16 million in dead money on the books. Now, it doesn't impact your cap space, but it's just a large amount of your cap being used up. So I think you could probably trade Alshon for, like, a seventh-round pick or another player that maybe another team doesn't want, and you do it just to move on from him. But, again, it also has to do with his health because he does have that foot injury.
Right.
Overall, though, I think they will be able to trade him.
Elliot, should they hire John DeFilippo as the offensive coordinator? I mean, is it simple and just an easy fit or not?
I think if Doug wants them, they should hire him. To me, who they hire is not as important as who makes the hire. I want Doug to pick his offensive coordinator. I think he's earned that right. I think he should be allowed to pick him. If he wants John DeFilippo, then he should bring in John DeFilippo. If he doesn't, then it should be somebody else. Personally, I would like a fresh set of eyes in here, someone that, with a bit of a different offensive background than Doug, that could maybe certainly not overhaul the offense, maybe add a new wrinkle or two. I don't know if DeFilippo brings that, but what I want is Doug to hire the coach.
And you agree that it's unlikely Deuce Staley is going to be promoted?
I don't know if I would say it's unlikely. I don't know if he would be considered the favorite at this point, but I do think that they'll probably interview him again, and Doug said with Angelo that he's a candidate. So I think he has a shot, but the fact he's not a quarterback and the fact that he probably won't be able to be – he won't be viewed as somebody that can continue to develop Wentz, I think will hurt him.
Yeah, right. Well, let's the free agents to be. sorry about that. Free agents to be. We were talking about secondary specifically. We got to make decisions on who's playing in our defense.
Would you want
secondary.
Jalen Mills back, Elliot? I mean, okay, he can be your starter, and you can get him sort of cheap. He's not going to get a huge payday. Would you want him to be a starter next season or shoot to do better?
I would absolutely want Jalen Mills back as a starter. I think he's been the best cornerback on this team since 2016. Now, you can argue that's not saying much, and he certainly has his flaws, but I think he's a great tackler. I think he's good in coverage. He does struggle down the field with speed, but I think he's a very good, solid cornerback, and I think he brings a lot to this team off the field and leadership. But what I'll say is, with Corey Unlin gone and now in Detroit, I think the chances of Jalen Mills coming back decreased, and it wouldn't even surprise me if you saw him go to Detroit with Corey Unlin. That's how high Corey Unlin is on him and why he's been playing.
Elliot, what about Ronald Darby? Let's say his agent starts talking to Howie and says, all right, my guy's fast. All right, he's quick. All right, he's talented. All right, he can cover. He can do this. He can do that. If you're Howie, are you listening or are you just saying, listen, Mr. Agent guy, I heard you say it last year. I heard you say when we acquired him, I've seen enough to know I'm done. Like, are you entertaining the agent if he gets on a roll, what Ronald Darby can do, or are you just shutting the conversation down right away?
I'm shutting the conversation down right away. I mean, I think Darby, in the right spot, if he can stay healthy, can be a starting cornerback in the NFL, but I just don't think that's going to happen here. I mean, you've seen too often that he's either injured or not playing well, and I think you're talking about reshaping the secondary. I would bring back Mills, but I don't think you could bring back Darby and Mills, so I would prefer Mills over Darby.
What's the likelihood they re-sign Malcolm Jenkins?
Or restructure. I mean, yeah, they restructure it.
Restructure. Give him the money he wants.
I'll say this. He's either going to have a new deal or he's not going to be here. I don't think that was empty talk on Malcolm's part. He will not be here under this new contract. I also think that if they can't redo his deal, I don't think this is going to be they'll trade him to the highest bidder. He'll pick where he wants to go. Whether now maybe they can work a trade out or they release him, but I think Malcolm will decide where he plays next year. And I think it'll ultimately be the Eagles. I do think that he's an important enough member of the secondary. He's old, but he's not, you know, Jason Peters, 38 years old, and he's still playing at a pretty high level. And again, we just talked about remaking the secondary. You have nobody behind him at safety that could potentially fill in for him. You're maybe going to be changing both corners. So keeping Malcolm, I think, has a lot of value just in terms of not completely overhauling the secondary.
Does that come at the cost of Rodney McLeod being an Eagle?
No, I don't think so. I mean, like I said, the Eagles, as of right now, yeah, I think you can. I mean, they were arguably the best set of safeties in the league last year. I mean, you can maybe come up with a pair or two that were better, but they were certainly top, you know, three. So the Eagles have $44 million in salary cap space. That is, Howie can do whatever he wants with that. He could re-sign every single free agent. He could go out and pay every single big free agent. I mean, Howie, the way he can work a cap and with $44 million, there is no limitations on what he can do this offseason.
All right, Elliot.
So if
you need defensive ends, which are very pricey.
And you need wide receivers.
You need wide receivers, which, you know, like I saw Amari Cooper on the open market could get close to $20 million
a year. That's incredible.
That's incredible.
But the way Howie structures his deals is he'll give, let's say he wants to give Amari Cooper $20 million a year. That cap hit in the first year will probably be around $7 or $8 million, right? Mm-hmm. So the way he structures his deals, I mean, we've all seen these last few off-seasons. He's gone in with way less money and paid a lot of big players a lot of big money.
Right. Yeah, no, it's rather remarkable. I mean, there's so many loopholes to the way that whole salary cap thing is structured. Elliot, four teams left in pro football. Which one wins the Super Bowl?
I think it's going to be the Chiefs. Yep. I really do. I think it's going to be them and the Niners. Just watching Patrick Mahomes in that offense, first, it made you realize how far the Eagles have to go from an offensive perspective, but they're just clicking at a level right now that I don't think anybody is stopping them.
Good stuff. Elliot, again, follow Elliot's work, 94WIP.com/GoBirds. There he is, Mr. Elliot Shoreparks. Thanks, Elliot.
Yep, talk to you guys
Thank
soon.
You.
All right, 888-729-9494. Jared Cameron, John Ritchie on WIP. Hey, if you're as excited as I am about this great sports month with all this action happening, then you want to make sure you enjoy all of it, all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. That's right, FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one online sportsbook for a reason. Actually, for many reasons. They've got all the bets you can want. They've got a great, easy-to-use app, new promotions every day, and once you win, they get you your cash fast. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new users their first bet risk-free, meaning you can place any bet within 7 days of sign-up, and FanDuel Sportsbook will refund you up to $500 in site credit if you don't win. What to look at? Well, how about it? We were just talking. the pro football games left. Three games left. Three more games left this year to bet on. Which team do you think, which two teams do you think win this weekend? Which team do you think emerges at the very end? You can get in on the action with FanDuel Sportsbook. The McGregor fight, how about it? FanDuel Sportsbook. NBA, halfway through the season, odds to win the title, odds to win a game tonight. It's all there for you. FanDuel Sportsbook. To claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app from the iOS App Store or visit FanDuel.com/Android. And be sure to sign up using promo code Joe. That's right, promo code Joe, that's the key, because it gets you that first deal, that first bet, totally risk-free. It's a great deal. Promo code Joe, J-O-E, to get your first bet risk-free on FanDuel Sportsbook.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.